Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, how are you? Welcome to the Fabulous Babes Network, The Final Arbiter. Today, I will discuss here, as the title suggests, krill versus fish oil, of the refined sort, of course. So what prompted me to do this program? Well, just talking to a lot of different people about how they try to achieve wellness, get in shape, get fit, however you want to phrase it. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, people take different supplements, they have different regimens. I think, you know, me personally, I think that the field of wellness is getting better, but it's kind of a bit Wild West. And to me, it's a science, and it's less of an art. So it's less of a, I do this and you do that, or I'm different than you, so I do this. I do believe in differentnesses, but I also believe in commonalities. It's really only the commonalities that you can decide on is obviously common between all people, like drinking water in the Sahara Desert. Nobody would disagree that that would be required for survival. That's where I'm at, and that is, in my opinion, where the science is in terms of wellness. So, you're kind of getting into it. Why would we take either fish oil, krill, or any other supplement for that matter? Well, I would hope it would be to be better. And by better is defined, in my opinion, the general overall definition of wellness is the lack of inflammation. And I'll get into a more specific definition with multiple parameters towards the end of the show. However, the reduction of inflammation would be top of the list, in my opinion. And as a disclaimer, you know, of course, this show is not intended to diagnose, cure, treat, or otherwise tell you what to do. You know, always, you know, of course, always go to your physician for that. So with that aside, with, you know, that out of the way, you know, which supplements would then be consequently required to achieve this goal of the reduction of inflammation, which in my opinion, again, is the primary goal. If you go after any of these other goals without it, I think you're missing the boat and the foundation is swooped up from under you and the house crumbles. So which supplement or group of or diet would accomplish this end objective? Well, with defining it as a reduction of inflammation, which is really, biochemically speaking, the reduction of arachidonic acid, and the increase of EPA, which is one component, one constituent within fish oil and or krill, by the way. We would have to know this before we take a look at which supplement's better. And since I'm narrowing this discussion down to fish oil and krill, I'm going to say that it's really the EPA that then, from a supplement standpoint, forget about diet for a minute, from a supplement standpoint, that helps you achieve wellness, or the major portion of wellness known as the reduction of inflammation or anti-inflammation, and also pro-resolution, by the way, which is a really cool part of the science, which is, hey, I stopped the damage, but now I want to resolve it, which is two different things, but both, you know, two sides of the same coin, so both part of the same equation in achieving that end objective. So first, I think you'd have to look at the science. I mean, and so when you're talking about it, I mean, what is it within each of those supplements that would be beneficial to you? Well, it's the EPA and DHA. There really is no other benefit for taking those things. And it's really an anti-inflammatory benefit, even though there are other benefits to DHA. And really, the benefits of DHA not only are anti-inflammatory, but also do other things. And I won't go through the list of those things, like removing lipid rafts, for example. Or helping to sensitize receptors, so there are other benefits to DHA. However, when you take a look at the science, it's really EPA diluting out arachidonic acid. Why is that important? Well, it's very important because it helps reduce the triggering of NF-kappa B. So once NF-kappa B is initiated, you know, it's going to lead to a lot of pro-inflammatory protein production. And it's been shown in all kinds of studies, and the science itself is what's most important to me, but it's been shown in studies that reduction of NF-kappa B activity is very beneficial for increased wellness, and lifespan for that matter. And from a lifespan standpoint, I mean, fish oil also increases telomerase, the length of telomerase. So, I mean, the benefits go on and on and on, but truly this reduction of inflammation and turning off your bad genetic switches so that you don't increase the environmental inflammation in the body. And so that's the benefit, right? And I know that's not too generalized, but it's also not too specific or pedantic to understand. To understand, it's just basically saying that within the cell, you can reduce arachidonic acid within the cell, which, by the way, drugs cannot do, by taking EPA and DHA, mostly EPA. So that being said, is which would be better? Now that we know it's the EPA, there's really two different types of fish oils out there. Or there's many different types of fish oil in terms of their grade, but really you can say fish oil, and I'm talking about the refined sort, so not health food grade or not crude fish oil, but the weapons grade, which is really just refined fish oil. And the more refined, the better. Why? Because it removes tow toxin and contaminants, which no one can argue is safe, like drinking cyanide is not safe, and either of these contaminants, such as PCBs, dioxins, furans, and oxidation, for that matter. So that's what refined EPA and DHA is. So what is the difference then, that I'm talking about refined EPA and DHA and krill? Well, let me just get into krill for a minute there. And since we know it's the EPA and DHA, and specifically EPA, that benefits wellness, what is krill oil? Well, the claim to fame, well, what krill really is, it's not actually fish oil, it's a small shrimp that's harvested. The problem with it is it's pretty contaminated. And you say, how so? Well, how so is it's dissolved in gasoline, in other words, hexane. Then from there, it's treated with nail polish remover. So again, starting to get contaminated here, kind of taking away the luster from krill here, with the only argument, again, that's supporting it is in their claim is better absorption. Now, removing all of that from, you know, its final product state is very difficult and very rarely ever completed based upon testing. So now let's move to fish oil. So once you go to fish oil, how do you clean fish oil? Well, to reduce all the PCBs and all the fish oils, which is again the main contaminant, which actually generates inflammation. So why would you take fish oil if you're going to generate inflammation while you're trying to offset it? So of course it doesn't make sense. So once you convert that crude form of fish oil into the ethyl esters, and I've talked a lot with Barry Sears about this, and read a lot about it. You have to, in order to distill it, to remove PCBs and all the other, you know, toxins contained therein. And this requires certain types of alcohol, ethanol. But unlike what's used in the krill to clean krill oil, it's the trace amounts of alcohol that are left behind are not harmful to you. Otherwise, you know, they would probably not be able to drink alcohol or whatever. They would ban that wine and everything else. So from there, you can distill it, removing the remaining PCBs. So from there, then it becomes, well, do you reassemble these purified ethyl esters back in the triglycerides, et cetera, et cetera. I won't go there because what you want is clean fish oil. And you want to get away from creating any kind of Frankenstein fat from, you know, modifying it from there. And I would say that the vast majority of this stuff, of this these omega-3s, these fish oils, are done with purified ethyl esters that are very low in PCBs. So there's the difference in cleaning the fish oil. So now we know that based on that, that the EPA, the refined EPA and DHA concentrates, like omega-RX from Zone Diet, or go on to, you know, IFOS program.com and look up the consumer reports, anyone on there, the majority of those are going to be, are going to be this form of fish oil, these refined fish oils. Compare that to krill. Krill's dirty and it's not really fish oil at all. But going back to the argument, it's really EPA and DHA that matters. Let's take a look at it from, let's say, a study standpoint or an observational standpoint. Since I don't really agree with observation, obviously there's other things impacting that observation, like you could be more stressed at the time. I don't really like personal observation, but I do understand that's what most people judge it by. Either it works or it doesn't, right? The problem with fish oil is you have to know how much to take. And since there have been no long-term studies with krill, and there are no success stories in my mind, extreme success stories. And what do I mean by extreme success stories? So has Krill ever taken a sago minor near death, basically brain failure, heart failure, all major organ failure, and brought him back to normal? No, it has not. Has fish oil? Yes, it has. Which brand? Omega RX has. So that's the sago minor extreme example. Oh, there's some other examples, and they're actually studies. And these studies have to do with vision. Certain amounts of fish oil, EPA, DHA, refined fish oil, what's the brand? Omega RX. What did it do? It brought back vision. It increased the ability to see better. That has never been done, not with any supplement, not with any antioxidants like carotenoids that are marketed for that. All we can do is slow the progression, but it's not reversible. And it is reversible, and it has been proven. Question is, why don't you know about it? Studies are there. Go to PubMed. Go to zonedietcom. Studies are there. Not a lie. That's why they're posted as studies, and the business isn't shut down because it did happen. What else has happened? Well, it's also Omega RX, and examples has brought multiple people out of a coma. Can you say it's attributable to the fish oil itself and only itself? I suppose maybe you can't, but every time you use it works. So, or has been used, it works in these examples. So those are examples. Those aren't studies. But if you want to talk about a study, an actual study, and these are hard to find because it costs a lot and it takes long terms and people have to comply, et cetera, there's a study that was called the GISSI trial, in which Italian heart disease patients who already had suffered a heart attack took about 1 gram or so of fish oil of ultra-refined EPA and DHA. So they took the refined sort, which matters. Why? Because it has low TOTOX levels and low contamination levels compared to the group taking the placebo or just vitamin E. So it's comparing it to what? An antioxidant. So fish oil to an antioxidant, which is better, right? And those supplementing with the fish oil over a 3.5-year period had 45% reduction in their risk of having a sudden fatal heart attack. Okay, so 45% reduction, that's on EPA and DHA. I have not seen that same study done on krill. Is that to say that the study cannot be done? No. But my point is this. My point is in all of these examples I gave you, the sago, the eyesight, the coma, all those examples, observational examples, high dosages were used. And by high dose, I mean very high dose. Of which you really, in my mind, couldn't safely do with krill. Why? Because it's too contaminated, and you cannot refine krill oil. So this final arbiter is clearly pointing at this point in the argument towards EPA DHA concentrates. Now, one of my favorite taglines, which is not even does not even contain words, is but it's true. So I don't understand the logic when people go in, and I have friends and family, and I won't get into that because we all, you know, want to beat up on our friends and family for things that we think that they do are incorrect, and life is hard, and we all receive information at different times in different ways, but really the ability to do the analysis I have found to fall on, the ability is for whatever reason to come to a proper conclusion, and in this case I believe there is a proper conclusion to be had, which obviously is taking refined EPA DHA concentrates in a high enough dose to reduce inflammation and to generate pro-resolution for that matter. I find that to be very discernible, and yet it seems to be very hard for people to do. And they always get confused with some new marketing ploy. Well, see, so science is science, and it doesn't change like that. So EPA will always dilute out arachidonic acid. Why? Based upon its spatial characteristics. The spatial characteristics that arachidonic acid is and always be while it is arachidonic acid, and the same thing for EPA. So for whatever reason, they want to look at some sort of listing of what this does this and this does that, and the list goes on, and, you know, this is supposed to be knowledge to them. I don't know why. And or the krill is some sort of marketing ploy, kind of like the isogenics marketing that everyone pays a ton of money to do and is inferior in every way to, let's say, products at zonediet.com. And yes, I'm very, very people would say that, oh, I'm biased. And I'm not biased. I was biased on the science. I'm biased because when I read the science, the Zone Diet more accurately reflects the science than any other product that are sold. That's why. So the science was determined by Dr. Barry Sears of Zone Labs. Then the products were created therefrom. Not reading a list of things that this does this and this does that and trying to, you know, but generated from science to product. So the products match the science. And by the way, most every company like Isogenics has a Zone-like not vastly inferior, of course, but a zone-like product. So you're paying more for something inferior, so therefore it's got to be the marketing. And why do we know it's inferior? Because the science is the science. And EPA dilute that arachidonic acid. And high levels of arachidonic acid in the cell trigger genetic switches, your transcription factors. That's why. And it happens every time. So it's repeatable, and it happens in every situation. So that's why. And I keep going on like that, and I'm semi-annoying in that way as an arguer and a debater, because that is the foundation. That is unchangeable. That is undeniable. That is what it is. Nobody can deny that. And so how are people fooled? I guess they like the little red pill, I guess. Or what I really think is they do like that red pill, but the argument on the krill side, so let's go to the pro arguments for krill. Can the absorbability of krill offset all of the bads? Well, I don't think anyone could argue that they would want all those bad things in them. So I don't think it offsets it in that way. Because PCBs will still generate inflammation, even if it's absorbing. So maybe that totally cancels it out. I don't know. On an equal basis. But I think more importantly is that fish oil obviously absorbs, because all the study that I quoted earlier was one study with very low dosages, and it had a significant impact. So obviously it was absorbed. The Stego Minor obviously absorbed the 20 plus grams of fish oil, whatever he was taking. Now, again, very high dosages, but very clean fish oil. It obviously helped all the patients in coma that were in a coma, and it obviously helped all the people's eyesight who took a high enough dose to help that eyesight. So it obviously does absorb, because otherwise it wouldn't have worked. So the absorbability argument to me is kind of mute when you're contaminating, you take a low dose, isn't it? And there should be no dispute there, no dispute whatsoever. Or if you're that comfortable with taking gasoline, nail polish, et cetera, go take high dosages of krill and see how that works out for you. Versus go take high dosages of, let's say, an Omega-RX, the cleanest fish oil on the planet, which without a prescription, sounds like a sales job, kind of is, but it's the truth, and so it doesn't matter that I'm selling. That's another thing. You ever notice that people say, well, you're just trying to sell it. Okay, that may be true. I don't really care what people are trying to sell. I believe in the free market, obviously, vastly superior than any sort of government organization. So what do I care if you're trying to sell something? I just care that you're correct or not, and that I can afford it, and it makes sense, and it's economical, which, by the way, Omega RX is, compared to, let's say, Vespa, which is an FDA approved EPA, which is really designed to lower triglycerides. But the truth is, it works mostly on an anti-inflammatory basis, in my opinion. And then you take a look at Lavazza, same thing. It's much cheaper than Lavazza. And it's probably one of the cheapest of really the refined fish oils, amazingly, on an EPA to DHA per gram basis. And especially when you take into consideration product quality. So I really don't see that there's a. Plus, if you factor in the fact that what you're doing now, if you're not taking refined fish oil, is, in my opinion, wasting your money. It's like paying for air, in my opinion. And I know it does something, and I'm sure it helps some people, but it's mostly for air. So anyway, that's the final arbiter opinion and really decision of mine on what is better. And hopefully that clarifies krill versus refined EPA DHA concentrates. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to log on so that we can go over what is my opinion of, based on the science, and based on the science how it's presented from the founder of Zone Labs, Dr. Barry Sears, the ideal marker measure of wellness. Because at the end of the day, What do we require to know? You can say, okay, I believe in your science, but there's other things you don't know, and there's other rate-limiting steps, or there's genetic things, whatever, right, that you don't understand, that's not factored into your little analysis, Scott. Okay, fine. So at the end of the day, I suppose the best measure we have is what's in the blood, right? How are things working? So we mentioned the inflammatory blood test, which is called an AA to EPA ratio, or was affectionately called SIP. Silent inflammation profile. Why silent inflammation? Because it's not screaming pain. It's silent. You can't feel it till it brings down the house. And I won't even get into the political analogy of that, because I think everyone knows what I would say. But anyway, this is a health discussion, wellness discussion. So we'll leave it there for now. So basically, the marker measure of that cellular inflammation, right? So it's measuring the inflammation in the cell. The second test would be triglycerides. And what is the proper ideal measure for that? It's 1.5. AA to EPA ratio, 1.5. That test can be gotten from zonediagnostics.com. Second test, triglycerides to HDL, marker for insulin. Okay, that's what the measure is, what the marker is. And the what's ideal there? One. What's good? Around two. Then you take a look at HbA1c. What is that measuring? That's measuring long-term glycemic control. So now what you're seeing is that really when we're making these measurements, we're measuring inflammation, we're measuring glycation, and so we're really getting into the biochemical pathways that really drive our wellness or lack thereof, right? And then lastly, fasting insulin, which ideal is about 5 UML. And good is 10 UML. So now there is an algorithm there that's telling you what is wellness. And really, if you agree with that definition, right, and you're supportive of it, it becomes a moot point, the argument. You would test yourself on that basis. Now, what it may not measure, I suppose, is some of the contaminations. But again, the contaminations would also be inflammatory. So there would be some, way to measure in terms of the, let's say, the inflammatory issue not being as good by taking that stuff. But that's one thing that may not be, let's say, considered in there. But ultimately, if you're 1.5 ADP ratio, you're at a triglycerides to HDL ratio of 1, and you're at an HbA1c of 4.8%, I suppose you're pretty well. And even though the refined EPA DHA concentrates are superior, in my opinion, you're still well. So it's in your blood. And I think, your blood doesn't lie. And on the basis of the objectivity of that measure, you now have a systemic way to measure what's right. And what's right is if I reach those numbers, then I'm right. Doesn't mean you can't improve again by taking something cleaner, but it means that you're generally in good shape. So your blood doesn't lie. But getting to pro resolution, here's another thing you have to consider. So what is resolution? Well, what resolution is, it's the ability to actually resolve the inflammation in the cell. And you say, well, isn't that what anti-inflammation is? And it's really not. They're two distinct phases. And in these distinct phases, you have anti-inflammation, which then, let's say, stops the inflammation in the first place. But once the inflammation gets going, it's kind of like a lot of things in life that you could analogize it to. That's a word. And what it does is once you stop inflammation, that's okay, but you really have to resolve the inflammation. So by stopping it, doesn't resolve it. And like embers on a piece of wood, they continue to burn until you put out those embers fully. And that's what resolution does. And resolution, it comes from aspirin, for example. And of course, you want to be careful there because you want to take the right dose of aspirin so that you're not. Number one, you want to resolve it as optimal as possible without any of the downside, right? Without any side effects. And I think the recommendation that's given there is right around 40 milligrams. So a pretty small dose, so even smaller dose than a baby aspirin. But, but it is the at least the poor man's way of getting resolution. The best way to get resolution, in my opinion, is to take high dosages of EPA. And of course, this is all coming from my studies on anti-inflammation. And being certified in anti-inflammation, the material that I study is from the anti-inflammatory or the Inflammatory Research Foundation. So that's the basis of it. The resolution is really the end game, because once you resolve, now you can consider yourself not only on a path to wellness, but actually there. You've arrived. And now the hard part is keeping it there, of course. And so, of course, it's a battle you're going to have to fight your entire life. But what I wanted to do in today's segment, today's show, was really dispel that krill is, in my opinion, is not a good option. And I think it's expensive for what it is too, by the way. And by the way, it's not really fish. Yeah, so you can't really call it fish oil. And so when they come up with these hybrid, I think there's a hybrid product out there as well that where they sell half krill or a portion krill and a portion fish, like, oh, this solves everything. It's like, why? What you want is the EPA and DHA. That's what you want. Now, I'm not saying that you can't combine things and have them be beneficial. What I'm saying is, where's the logic that it is beneficial? Because what I want is EPA and DHA in my blood. And by the way, when I take highly refined fish oils, it is in my blood. I've tested my blood, and it's there. And it's there in the quantities that I want. Why? Because I have an AAEPA ratio of 1.5. And what else do I know? Because I look at the lot testing, let's say, at zonediet.com. I don't have contaminants in there. Why? Because it was tested pre- and post-production. So it's all there in the numbers. So I've got both of best worlds. So in this quest for what is the final arbiter's decision? Well, it's refined fish oil is the product. And of course, my opinion, what I opine, which is probably more like fact, but again, it's an opinion. And I think that the logic is flawless. Not flawless in a sense that I'm flawless, but I don't think there's any other thing to consider when you're going into this. It's how much EPA and DHA do I get? What's the right amount of that? Which, by the way, the ratio of EPA and DHA is a debatable topic. I think it's less debatable than they make it, but it is debatable because it's relative. I go with the 2-to-1 EPA to DHA ratio that the product Omega RX has. Now, another product that they have is an Omega RX Sport, which actually gives a higher dosage of EPA to kind of offset a lot of the sport-induced inflammation. So probably depends a little bit on your goals there. There's a difference that matters, right? So getting away from the commonality, going to the difference. But I think in general, you're going to want some DHA in there, obviously, because it does different things, and I think nature wanted it that way in the first place, which is why it's in most foods together, even though in different ratios together. So I do still love to eat shrimp. It actually is probably one of my favorite pieces of seafood. I don't know if that makes me, a poor boy eater or a low ender guy, but I do like it. And I also like crab, and I also like shrimp or lobster better than I like fish. But that being said, is I do like the refined EPA DHA, which comes mostly from fish. So there you have it. I think the final arbiter has spoken. And in doing so, dispelling the myth of krill. And it's not to be right, but it's to move forward correctly. Because once you establish a foundation and you replicate that foundation of correctness, you can build on top of it. But if you don't, you're forever going back and atoning for the error in which some people would call the sin of moving in the wrong direction. So there's, good motion and bad motion here. So since the show is coming to an end from a time perspective, and I could ramble on and on and on, EPA, DHA, refined, better than krill, my opinion. And again, disclaimer, as I stated, not a recommendation to treat, cure any illness or condition. Always consult with your physician. And as time moves on, hopefully more physicians are trained in anti-inflammatory nutrition and science. Because in my opinion, that's the foundation of the future, healthcare. As I probably stole a lot of that from Barry Sears, but I do believe it. I did think it. If it isn't amazing once you can think something that someone has already said that somehow you feel like giving credit to only them. But I do give credit to him, obviously, for most all of the science. But it's amazing how you're connected to it when you see it. You see it as a truth, even though you may not have been the guy, because not everyone can be first in life. So, but that you always feel like caveating everything you say. So, anywho, that's the show, and hope you enjoyed it. Tune in next time for the final arbiter's decision. Adios, folks.